Thank you so much. I'm going to say something. If you notice that during this weekend, I have been talking about all the sermons are dealing with excellence. Tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, when we have our prayer breakfast, I am going to tell you what makes a man more excellent than another man. I am not attempting to give a definition from the dictionary to the word excellence. I am trying to emulate it with some practical sample from the Bible. So you can know, you can say, wow, that was really an excellent man. But Joseph, the topic for this afternoon, I entitled it Joseph, a Man of Excellence. And of course, some of you have read the story of Joseph probably several times. But every time I read it, I learn something new. And because of the interest of time as well, today I'm not really going to deal with the every detail of the life of Joseph. It's quite a lot, and I'm going to tell you why. There is no other person or character in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, of which there are so many chapters dedicated to the life than Joseph. From chapter 37 to 50, it's surrounded in the life of Joseph. And Genesis has only 50 chapters. So the other 37 chapters that are left are divided by the other guys, Abraham and Jacob, Isaac, Noah, Adam, and some of those guys that you know very well. But for Joseph, is almost half of the entire book of Genesis. And I think that what God wanted to teach us there, although might seem to be a lot, is all needed for us today. I brought this up. They had it downstairs. You saw it before me. But this is a very nice cap for an Egyptian ruler. I actually had it on. I don't think that I can put it on by myself because I needed help. My head grew up a little bit. But my son wore it for a few minutes and took picture of it. And it's very interesting. I don't know how many of you have ever tried to find in the Bible which character do you identify the most with. And when I look into my life experience and the many stages that I have gone through and different different transitions, I realized that the one that fits me most is Joseph. And I'm going to take time to go through this, and probably in 35 minutes we will be over. But I just don't want to rush the few things I'm going to say today. First, nobody is born with or without a purpose. Nobody is born as a king. No one is born as a doctor. No one has ever been born as a nurse or even a thief. No one has been born as a prostitute. No one has been even born as a preacher. It's what we do and what we choose to do that makes us what we are. Chapter 37 introduces a long section that has to do with Joseph. Joseph, being 17 years old, Thus begin one of the most remarkable life story of the Bible and all literature. There is a book, I was talking to Lynette yesterday, and she told me she has this book, it's called God Sent a Man. And it's been around for a couple, I would say probably 15 years now. Yeah, so it's a very good book in the life of Joseph. And it deals with even the economy of Egypt. So we are going to talk about for a few minutes about some of that shortly. But Joseph was loved and hated. He was favored and abused. He was tempted and trusted. He was exalted and abased. You know, his life is just interesting. How can somebody at the same time that he is tempted being trusted in the same house where he was tempted, in that same house he was highly trusted, in the same house where he was loved by his father, he was also hated by his brothers. You need to start doing some exercise on imagine Joseph living in one of those places and going through all of this. So it's really interesting how his life was going around. So yet, at no point in the 110-year life of Joseph did he ever seem to get his eyes off God or cease to trust him. Most of the places you find the Bible speaking about Joseph, it's going to say something like this: and the Lord was with Joseph. You know, this is a difficult time for me to speak because we just came out of the lunch room there, and I'm sure that some of you might want to take your daily nap. But just bear with me for a few more minutes and I will release you. So in this chapter, Joseph is sold into slavery after offending his brother with his dreams. I choose this word carefully. He offended his brother with his dreams. Sometimes our personal aspiration offends people. Sometimes the fact that you are just you get people offended. It is sad to know that even when you work hard to get your grades at school, some people get offended by that. His brothers were jealous of Joseph being favored by their father Israel. And yet he went on trusting the Lord. And this is how it goes. Enoch shows the walk of faith. Noah shows the perseverance of faith. Abraham shows the obedience of faith. Isaac shows the power of faith. Jacob shows the discipline of faith. Along this line, we could say that Joseph shows the triumph of faith. He was tested. His faith was put to the stake. It was put to the most horrendous fire that a Christian can go through. Oh yes, he went into the pit and he went into prison. But yet God had a purpose for him. Joseph never complained and he never compromised. As we study the life characteristic of this great man, may we be challenged to be like him. There is no other purpose for which I'm standing here today but just to challenge each one of you to be like Joseph. First of all, we look into his birth and background. For the first 30 years of Joseph's life, he saw adversity. He faced the most incredible adversity. It was 1 against 10. Now you tell me, can one person just defeat 10 people, 10 of his brother, and they were all older than him? He was a suffering young man, and there is one thing that is said, but Joseph dreamed a dream. Some of us' lives was birthed out of calamity and disastrous event marked by major misfortune. Some of us we grew up with great losses. Some of us have to endure distress. Some of us have to go through unfortunate suffering and even broken homes. Some of us have to live under extreme poverty. Yeah. I'm not speaking to strange people. I'm speaking to people who have gone through this too. And I stand here boldly to say that I had my cheer too. When I was growing up, I had to, when I was going to school, I had to cheer the notebook with my brother and my sister. And the pen that we have to go to school, we have to cut it in two. I'm not ashamed to say that, because God took Joseph from pit to palace. And if I am standing here today, it's because the Lord is with me. Joseph was put in a pit, a place of despair, where he could have lost his hope, a place of depression, where he could experience feelings of dejection, a place of loneliness, where he could experience feelings of isolation, a place of anguish, where he could experience emotional tormentation, a place of emptiness, where he could have feeling devalued or meaningless, a place of oppression, overwhelmed with worry and stress. But God was fulfilling Joseph's dream. That was the key aspect of what was happening to Joseph. God was fulfilling his dream. He ended up in Egypt and found gainful employment in Egypt and did a great job for an Egyptian leader named Potiphar and his household. The Midianites and the Ishmaelites only saw Joseph as a business opportunity. You know, I don't know if you have ever felt in the place where you work that you are just an instrument to the company to make money. They don't even treat you like a human being. A machine and you are not treated any different. And that's how society is today. A lot of the people don't care about your feeling or about your personal problems. They don't care about your growth or your stability. They only care about what is going to be their return on investment. How much are we going to get from this business transaction, in spite of how many lives are lost? The Midianites and the Ishmaelites only saw Joseph as a business opportunity when he was sold for 20 pieces of silver. Was just a business opportunity. Once the transition was made, Joseph was taken to Egypt and sold by the Ishmaelites and bought by Potiphar. But I'm going to tell you this: be aware of the merchantmen. Be aware of those who are running the business on this world. They will give you a promotion only for what they can get in exchange. Yeah, this is how it is today. They will promote you because they want to improve their production. It's not because they care about Joseph. It's not because they care about you. They may kill the dreamer, but they will never kill the dream. Joseph was a man of integrity. When we look into chapter 39, we are moving from there, but I want to reach to one point very quickly. Potiphar's wife wanted to cheat on her husband with Joseph. Joseph refused to lie about him trying to take advantage of her, and he was thrown into prison for 2 years. But the interesting thing about this temptation, and I think this is just one of them. Joseph, the Bible said that he was a well-built guy with 6 abs. So to me, he had more than one temptation. It's just that this is the only one that was recorded. This guy was very integral guy. But do you know why so many men cannot stand tall and shine today? Do you know why? I'm going to be blunt to you. The reason why is because there are too many women who have seen their underwears. I was invited for a men's ministry retreat here, so I hope this is still the subject. Come on. Bill Clinton, John Edwards, Arnold Schwarzenegger, David Patterson, Dominic Strauss-Kahn, very recent. And you wonder why those leaders cannot stand anymore. Their underwear are somehow in the media. Don't let yours get there. Be careful with a desperate housewife. That's what Joseph avoided. Joseph was a man of excellence. When integrity is being compromised, you got to run and leave everything in spite of the material loss. You got to run even if you have to lose your house. You got to run even if you have to lose your business. You got to run even if you have to lose food, pleasure, social status. Whatever it is, run. Run and run. A person of moral integrity is one who does what is righteous. A person of moral integrity speaks the truth in love, does not falsely accuse another, does not harm a neighbor or his neighbor's wife. A person of integrity does not gossip. It does not despise evil men. A person of integrity honors those who love the Lord. A person of integrity keeps his or her word. Very important. A person of integrity does not accept bribes. But even there, Joseph made, when he got in jail for the 2 years, he made the prison better. You know, I wish if there was somebody listen to me today. Because it doesn't matter where you are. It could be a place that sends a negative message to society. But you can even make a difference right there. Joseph made a difference in the prison. It was one of his down time. But that prison was God's waiting room for Joseph. It was a preparation room for Joseph. Then we know the story, what happens there. God prepared Joseph. He somehow told the dream of some of these guys that later even forgot about him. And sometime after, he got into Pharaoh's case, and then Pharaoh asks to release Joseph. So Joseph finally gets out of prison after he interprets Pharaoh's dream about the coming famine and became the second in command in Egypt. There is a famine in the land so intense that it brings Joseph's family down to Egypt to purchase food years after his brother sold him into slavery. But this is something that I take in this. There are certain lifestyles that leads people into debt. And I'm going to speak a little bit on the economy of Joseph. Because if you remember quite well the dream, what happened, he said that in the dream, God shows Pharaoh that there were going to be 7 years of famine and 7 years of plenty. In those days, the economy was somehow based on household. What the country did in Egypt was to start centralizing the resources that the country has so that they can manage in a more socialistic manner the resources of the country. There were people who could produce more. They were making themselves richer, yes. But again, there was not so much of an oppressive system. Joseph took on the centralization process, and he brought and he started to bring all the food into the store in the under the government system, and they were able to store enough food for the years of famine. And we know the story. But I'm going to talk about a little bit of the economy of Joseph, but I'm going to apply some of the stuff to these our days. There are certain lifestyle that leads to death. Living life with distorted values. I want to talk a little bit on this. I'm going to mention at least four distorted values. One of them is using money to keep up social appearance. We have to be careful of that. And at times, we have the temptation to live based on what other people say. Or if we belong to a particular club, we want to drive the cars that those guys drive. We want to live in the neighborhood where they live. We want to dress the way they dress. We want to keep probably a bank account in the same bank where they have it. We want to do certain things that we can do. And if you cannot swim that deep, don't jump in that water. So there is another distorted value, which is using money to feel important. Your importance does not rely on what you have. It relies on who has you. Who has you is the most important part of your life. You are in the hands of God. That's the most important thing. Whatever He places in your hands is okay, because that's what you need. So you don't need to live and work for money to feel important. The next thing is that some people use their money to manipulate others. That was not Joseph's purpose. After Joseph has gone into the days when his father died, and then the system came up, the Egyptian government, and this is why today they're having so many problems there, is that they changed the system from being a socialistic system into a capitalism. So today what they're having is that there is a group of people who is becoming richer And there is another side of the population that is getting poorer. So don't use the money to manipulate other people. And there is another distorted value in this. And this is the fact that some use their money to appear righteous in the eyes of God and others. Well, the Bible says, Matthew 6, verse 1, be careful not to do your act of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. We have to be careful with that particular value. Nothing that we do should be just for an outward appearance. The next thing is that in the economy of Joseph, there are some folks who want to live a life as a through an escape mechanism. They spend money to escape personal tension. I don't know if you are following me here. They spend money because they want to escape personal tension. Oh, I just want to relax. I just want to go somewhere. I need a break. And they go and spend $3,000 in a hotel in the Caribbean or somewhere. And when they come back, they have to pay the credit card. You know, my good advice is don't spend your money on personal tension. If you feel that you need a break, don't think that money is what's going to give you that break. There are some who spend money to momentarily lift depression, and that's where people that smoke come to. They buy, they drink, they do all kinds of things, and drugs, just to momentarily lift their depression. When you look into the system that Joseph established, all these things applies very well. And there are those who spend money to indulge an obsession for a possession. Ooh. Hey. This electronic stuff are becoming a obsession. Everybody wants to have the latest iPad. There are people searching right now for iPad 3, and this has not yet been invented. iPhone 5. When they only have the iPhone 4. They are waiting for the next version of the Homer. And the company say they are not going to build that car anymore. And they are still waiting for it because it's an obsession that the people have. There are those who collect stuff just for collection purposes. I mean, I'm just telling you that there are those who leave this and spend their money as an escape mechanism. And there are those who spend their money to win love and affection. Oh, that one is bad. I can tell you about it. Let me tell you. When I was younger, you know, we used to go to the movies and stuff. I'm talking about when I was like 10 years old. I was not even baptized yet. But the movies was 25 cents to go on Sunday or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And we used to go and stand right at the door of the movie theater waiting for some young girls to show up. And then we will find out whether or not they have their ticket or they need somebody to buy it for them. And we will, of course, offer to purchase that ticket for them to go in. And after all, these girls went in and there was somebody else waiting for them already inside. So you spend your money to win love and affection and you end up being screwed. You have to be careful. The Bible says in Luke chapter 12, watch out, be on your own guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possession. Living a life of indolence, seeking gain without working for it, seeking excuses not for having gainful employment. We have to avoid all these things. If we are going to be men and women of excellence, we need to live a life that is emulated by the principle that Joseph established, that were principle rooted in faith and in God. You know, there are many other things I could say there, but I'm going to, for the interest of time, go into another aspect of Joseph's life. And it was Joseph's forgiveness. In the chapter 50 of the book of Genesis, we find that Joseph, after being sold into slavery, falsely accused of attempted rape, unjustly imprisoned, and forgotten by a friend who promised to help him, Joseph had every reason to sever ties with his family, vent hatred on humanity, and slam the door on God. But he didn't. He did not. As I said to you in the beginning, he was loved and hated. After a series of events where Joseph knew who his brothers were, and they did not know who he was, he arrived at the very emotional moment where adversity and grace met, where the bitter event of adversity met head on with the flow of forgiveness. Now, I'm going to read a few passages here. After Jacob died, the Bible says that Joseph and all the company of the people of the house of Joseph and his brethren and his went to his father's house where he was supposed to be buried. And even the people outside were saying, this is a grievous mourning for the Egyptian. And after the burial, the Bible said that Joseph returned into Egypt. He and his brethren and all that went up with him to bury his father, after he had buried his father. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they say in their hearts and with among themselves, Joseph will definitely hate us, and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. They were not yet ready to forgive themselves, and they were on guard. So for all this year that this guy has been living in Egypt with his brother, they were not even trusting him. They thought that Joseph was holding on him, bearing with him hatred against them. They thought that Joseph had been accumulating things and choosing the right words that he's going to use for the right moment when he get to talk to them away from their father. They thought that because the only reason why he has not addressed them yet is because of respect to his father. Let me tell you something. When people don't know you well, they will make all kinds of assumptions. Because people assume things when they don't understand. they did not understood. They did not understand Joseph's heart. They did not. They didn't know Joseph's feelings about them. And this chapter here is where it's recorded that Joseph wept. He cried, not because he was having a feeling just for his father dead, but he cried because up to the very last day, his brethren have not yet put aside the issue that they had in the past. It is a very uncomfortable feeling when you know that the years has gone and somebody still don't have not forgiven you for something you did to them. It's a very uncomfortable feeling to know that even somebody has done something wrong to you and the person still willing to do it again. Now the Bible says that, and they sent a messenger unto Joseph saying, thy father, your father, did say before he died that you shall say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee, now the trespasses of your brother. Was that true or lie? That was a lie. Jacob had not had that conversation with them to tell his brother to forgive them. But you see, sometimes you have to deal with all kinds of people. They come to you from different side, and they will tell you a lie in order to get to you. And this is what these brethren were trying to do to Joseph. Your father say that you should forgive us. So how about you coming and apologizing? If you think forgiveness is hard, making an apology is hard too. Giving an apology is hard too. Some of us just say it to get away from the moment. Oh, I'm sorry. But you're not really sorry. If you have to do it again, you'll do it all over. The Bible say that here, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive your brother and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we prayed it, forgive the trespasses of their servant of the God of thy father. And the Bible says, and Joseph cried, Joseph wept, and they, when they spoke to him, and his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they say, behold, we, let us be your servant. Now, do you remember that vision now? When the figs were bound to Joseph, to one sprout, and then they were bound to him. When the stars and the moon and the sun was bound to that only that other star, that was Joseph. This is where this fulfillment of that vision came through. Now Joseph wept. We look into the verses that follows that and the response that he did. And this is where excellence comes to the highest. Joseph say unto them, fear not. I am not in the place of God. I am just your brother. I am just one like you. I am not my position as the prime minister of Egypt does not mean that now I'm going to rule over you. This is not why God brought me here for. That was not the purpose for which God brought me here. There is a deeper purpose, and then Joseph spelled it out. He said, but as for you, you thought evil against me.
but God meant it into good. To bring to pass as it is today, the purpose for which I went into that pit. The purpose for which I went into the prison. The purpose for which I have to run from Potiphar's wife and leave all my stuff with her. The purpose for which I almost lost my reputation. That's why I am here, not to be ruler over you, but to save many people. And that's where greatness and excellence come to the most. You are not here to be rulers over anybody. You're here to choose the purpose of God to save many. That's what we are here for. If you didn't know your purpose today, your purpose is to go and save many. But this is another thing I'm going to let you know today, and I'm just about to finish. There is the story of two brothers, just like Joseph and his brothers. They were having some conflict among themselves. And they went to make a covenant. And when they were making the covenant, they decided to go by the seaside. And the covenant covered two parts. One part was, first, each brother, they have to forgive themselves. And second, then they will make the promise of what they were going to do. But this is how it went, first of all. The first brother came and he wrote all the trespasses and sinful things that his brother has done to him on the sand of the sea. And he wrote it right there. His other brother, when he has his chance now, his opportunity to say and write and describe the way he has been offended by his brother, he took a hammer and a chisel and he went and he hit the rock and he's carved in the rock and he wrote there on the rock what his brother has done to him. They finally left. They made the promise to each other that they were going to protect each other's family, and they left. The following day, somebody came by to confirm the covenant. And they found out that whatever was written in the sand has been gone with the waves of the water and has been forgotten. Whatever was written on the rock is still there to be remembered. My question is, where do you write the trespasses of those who offend you? I believe Joseph wrote the trespasses of those who offend him on the sand of the sea. When the waves came and the water were moving, they just washed away the sand, and it has been forgotten. Greatness and excellence does not come from the way we spend our money. Does not come from the way that we appear to be in the outward. It comes in the way we deal with people. It comes in the way we forgive those who has offended us. After someone has offended you, you can test the quality of your forgiveness by asking yourself the following question. Do I still expect my offender to pay for the wrong done to me? Do I still have bitter feeling towards my offender? Do I still have vengeful thought toward my offender? The secret of Joseph's success was, do not be distressed and do not be angry. And this is found in one verse, which is Genesis chapter 45, verse 5 and 8. He told his brother, don't be distressed. God sent me here. God sent me here and he made me ruler over Egypt.
to save many. When you realize that God in his sovereignty will bring good out of the wrong done to you, you will have an attitude of forgiveness. When you realize that God in his sovereignty will use your location and your position whenever you are placed for good, you will have an attitude of forgiveness. When you realize that God in his power and his knowledge will make you your every circumstances result in good, you will have an attitude of forgiveness. When you are able to accept God's sovereignty over your location, your circumstances, and especially the wrong done to you, and when you trust him to use them one day for good, you will have success through your forgiveness. We know all, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. My brothers and sisters, the dictionary is the only place where success comes before work. Joseph was a successful man, not because he was handsome and he was of a good, well-built guy. He was a man of God, and God was with him. And God had a special purpose for him. And he never defiled God. Through all of Joseph's calamity, God had to position him in the lowest point of his life in order to elevate him to the highest point. May God bless you. Amen. Let us stand and we will close with prayer at this time. Gracious God, we learn from Joseph today that you allow him to go to the lowest point of his life so that you can prepare him to be at the highest point. We learn, Lord, that Joseph was a man of high integrity. We learn that he, even at the time when he was in prison, it was a waiting room for preparation to take charge of the Prime Minister office of Egypt. We learn, Lord, that even at the point of temptation where he could take a chance, for no one will even ever question that, he rather choose not to do such thing against you. We learn, Lord, that even in the moment when he could take each one of his brother and let them pay the price for what they have done to him, he spoke kindly to them and he showed them the purpose of God by what they have done to him. Today, Lord, the only thing we can do is to place ourselves into your hands. We don't know the calamity and the difficulties that we may face in our life, but we ask, Lord, if it's possible for you to be with us, we would like to write in our history, in our story, the same words that were written about Joseph. And the Lord was with Joseph. Help us, Lord, to have the privilege of be men and women of excellence. Joseph is a good example. Today we live a life where the ethics, where the questions and issues that surrounds our society are not necessarily different than those of Joseph's days. But we ask, Lord, that you will help us to stand by faith for the principles that we have believed in you. Bless this church, Lord, each one of us as we stand here, our families, our friends. But I would like to pray, Lord, for those who have offended us. Help us to forgive them. Help us, Lord, to exercise patience and to even give them an opportunity to see again that there is great excellence in our life, and yet we can communicate again. Bless us, and as we may leave this place now, be with each one of us, and let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. And let the church say, Amen. Amen.